say the word immigration or NRIs, and one of the biggest arguments is on the topic of brain drain. While some think it's a myth, some support it with hard facts and numbers. Whether we agree with it or not, for a country like ours, the conversation around brain drain can just not be ignored when approximately 1 in every 10 young people is either planning to or has already moved out of the country with plans to settle abroad. My name is Isha and this podcast is called Culture Chaos. Having spent all of my life as a proud Mumbai girl, my mind sort of went for a toss when I moved abroad, and since the past 7 years, I have been traveling from one country to another and have lost count of how many cities and houses I have moved. Culture chaos is what the state of my mind is. All my experiences of life away from home, trying to just make sense out of things. The reality is that the whole world is functioning on a capitalist economy, and the young and educated youth is going to go after opportunities which give them a dignity and value their efforts. As much as it is the job of our youth to give a chance to our economy, the onus is also on the economy to generate an environment where this talent finds its worth. So, in our case, who is at fault? The country or the youth? That's the main argument here. Now, let's first understand what does this brain drain exactly mean? Brain drain is when a country's economic growth takes a hit because of its skilled youth moving out of the country, usually to more developed countries and in search of better opportunities. The key here is the bit where it mentions the home country's economic growth getting negatively affected, and this is the side of the argument that I'm more leaning towards. What concerns me is that the opinions from both sides are extremely strong and the argument often becomes a heated one, and rather unnecessarily so. For those who stand by the brain drain narrative, they definitely have the stats to back their claims up. There's no denying that the numbers are alarming. They all blame the NRIs for brain drain or for betraying the country. They often loosely use these stats and state that it is our people that are helping economies in the West boom. They say that NRIs are leading innovations and technologies which could have done so much for India if that Indian would have achieved these feats in his home country. Be it the medical breakthroughs, the technological innovations, or scientific inventions, Indians working abroad have put their names on some of the most genius ideas of the new century. And it's true that if some of this was done in our home country, India could have benefited from it. But yet again, these arguments are always subject to a lot of ifs and buts, and conditions always apply. To put it in a nutshell, NRIs get the blame for falling prey to the promises of lifestyle and the higher pays that living in a Western country may come with. So, as absurd, heated, and sometimes hurtful some of these blames may get, the argument for that one may hold some ground. On the other end of the spectrum, you have the NRIs with their side of the story. Another logical yet extreme argument. The NRIs chime in with their own set of stats and numbers. Unemployment is at an all-time high in our country, and the education system is getting more corrupt, unfair, and subpar as we speak. We have a few extremely elite colleges for higher studies, and then we have really mediocre universities which function in a system that promises neither a stable job post-graduation nor a solid form of training which could make the candidates stand out in the large pool of job seekers. The NRIs play their own blame game and bring out all the social factors that they can think of that work in their favor. They quote factors like dearth of opportunities, toxic work cultures, and no support or encouragement for any sort of innovation. Every ill in our society, from corruption to women's security, is now a part of this argument and used as a justification for why India was just not somewhere things would have been possible for them to have made it. They are convinced that India failed them, and hence they went on a search for so-called greener pastures. We all know someone like that, don't we? Someone who has nothing but bitterness about India and has either left the country and pledged to never return, or is putting everything they have on the line in order to get that visa to move abroad. So then, of course, with the NRIs, there's the contribution narrative as well. The NRIs have continued to argue about the foreign remittances that they continue sending in through the form of money sent to their homes, or in the form of relief and charity dollars that are sent into India in the millions every year. The NRIs also try to get credit for helping the employment situation in our country and generating thousands of new jobs through the outsourcing industry. Even though the NRIs don't deserve all the credit for this, I would definitely give them some acknowledgement there. So the blame game continues. Everyone has taken their own decisions, made their minds, formed an opinion, and now is doing everything in their power to justify these decisions. But in all honesty, when it comes to a country like India, I don't think that brain drain has much of a damaging impact on our economy just yet. As a country and a culture, we're at a really interesting intersection right now, and yes, youth is the key driving force in any economy, and ours is leaving India at an alarming rate. But I strongly believe that we've somehow managed to balance it out. India, I believe, has started to gain more in a reverse brain drain than what it is losing. Reverse brain drain is when our Indian youth goes abroad, studies in some of the best universities in the world, works in some of the top firms, and then moves back to India to use the knowledge, the experience, and the skills to contribute to the ever-growing economy. It is these people that are leading the way for both the startup ecosystem and the corporates, where they're not only contributing to the organizations they work for, but they're also facilitating the setup and management of these foreign investments coming in. Now, when I say that in such a celebratory manner, please remember that I'm not saying that our economy is doing great. No, it's not. But we're a growing economy, and for a country that's less than a century old, we're at a decent pace. From Uber to Taco Bell, from Walmart to Louis Vuitton, everyone has their eye on India and everyone wants an in on the market. The Indian consumer is a priority when it comes to global brands, and this is an exciting time for any company to be in India. I remember a couple of decades ago when referring to India, one would primarily call it an overpopulated country or a struggling economy. But we're now starting to see India as an economy of scale. From a land of challenges, it is now globally being seen as a land of potential. It's become a pie that everyone wants a piece of. Whether it is that corporate giant who's launching absurd phone data plans and giving away free technology to people, or it is that YouTuber who's flocking to the villages and cooking food on village fire pits to get those millions and billions of views from the Indian YouTube viewers. India is now the place to be, and everyone wants to be there. It is these opportunities and this potential, along with the cultural roots and the emotional appeal of being around aging parents and raising families in one's cultural landscape, that is making people consider moving back home. Add to that the difficulties of the immigration processes in the West, and we're looking at a large number of people who may be moving back to India in the coming decade. These people are only going to add to the economic growth and development, either through starting up their new ventures or taking up promising positions in corporate jobs. For those who are probably going to settle and raise generations of their families abroad, they're still carrying their Indian identities on their skin and in their personalities, and they're making a name for India on the global level. So that too needs to be credited. To put it in a nutshell, brain drain, even though it makes up for a compelling intellectual conversation, might not be India's top concerns at this point. I believe that no matter what part of the world we're in, we're never really going to stop being Indians or people of Indian origin. And whether it's directly or indirectly, our global community is coming together to make a strong statement about who we all are collectively as a nation. With that comes an end to my today's episode. Stay tuned for my upcoming episodes every week, where I share my stories about searching for comfort and navigating life away from home. This podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Savan, Spotify, or your preferred podcast app. You can find more content for Culture Chaos on Twitter and Facebook. I would love to hear back from all of you, so feel free to write to me on my email. You can also leave your feedback in the form of a review on iTunes. Thank you for listening. This is Isha, and you're listening to Culture Chaos.